RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Bring the energy!
It's happening.
Get it. For your lives.
It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
You want to take advantage of that, and you want to do that. Which brings me to Mitchell Rales. He's the co-owner of the Commanders, along with Josh Harris and his crew. Mitchell Rales, he and his brother started a company in D.C., have become very wealthy off of that. Now, this is the first time he's owned a sports team. He was on a podcast called The Art of Investing. This went for 2 hours. You can find it online. Extensive interview, obviously. He talks about a lot of things about business and investing and all that, but they asked him about the Commanders, and he said a lot of the things Josh Harris has said, which is, you know, we want to hire good people. We want to let them do their job. He said there will be a team hall of fame or museum wherever the new stadium or practice facility ends up. You know, they're going to be more fan-facing in everything they do. But he also talked about just meeting with players after taking the job. And he sat down, he said he had lunch with groups of 10 to 12 players and asked them, you know, what's going on here and, you know, what do you need fixed? And he provided an example of the kind of thing that needed to be fixed in Ashburn.
This is just a journey that's going to take time to come to grips with. But we also listened to them. They said, one of the guys said, you see this shampoo I'm using, Head and Shoulders? Can't we do better? I said, wow, I didn't know that, but I do know a little something about shampoo. He said, how in the world do you know something about shampoo? I said, just trust me. So I made a little arrangement for Scene. Scene is now in the locker room, both at our practice facilities and at the stadium, and everybody is a happy Scene shampoo user these days. And now, wouldn't you know it, they're saying, where do I get this stuff? I want my wife to have access to this. And now Scene is a sponsor of the Commanders. So it's awesome the way this journey goes.
Shampoo expert, Mitchell Rales. Mitch Rales, fixing the problems in Ashburn.
Nobody likes flaky hair.
Nobody likes Head and Shoulders.
Yeah,
no,
one.
They're professional athletes. Come on now.
Seriously.
Step up your game a little bit.
They need to be seen.
They need to be seen. I had never heard of Scene shampoo, I'll admit, before today.
Looks very sleek. The packaging is very nice.
S-E-E-N shampoo, mm-hmm. Developed by a Harvard dermatologist. I mean, that's how you know it's good. She did go to Harvard. She did go to Harvard, yes. And then, I mean, I'm looking at this. It's $53 for a bottle of Scene shampoo.
Now, that's what they need to be using. That's better than Head and Shoulders.
That's, I mean, look at that. They went all the way.
That
they
shows quality.
Outhouse to the penthouse, right? And shampoo right away.
That's right.
I just love that, right? That's the little stuff you got to clean up along the way. And all we heard from Ron Rivera for 4 years was culture, culture, culture. And it you can't back that up unless you're showing the love. You can't just preach the love.
Yeah.
You got to show the love, too.
Head and Shoulders doesn't show the love.
Didn't show the love.
No.
Didn't show the love. Although, I will say this. Jaden Daniels got an NIL deal with Head and Shoulders in the lead up to the draft. So, we have a lot we're going to need to work through here.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
There's drama.
We shampoo battles.
He's going to be sneaking Head and Shoulders bottles back into the locker room.
I've seen Jaden Daniels' hair, though. There's no way he's using Head and Shoulders on it. It's way too styled for that. From Jaden Daniels on Instagram, Head and Shoulders is asking the head-scratching questions about how I make every play count on and off the field. # Head and Shoulders partner.
He worked that in pretty well.
That's smooth. Somebody wrote that for him, but that was smooth. Good on Head and Shoulders. Troy Polamalu was the Head and Shoulders guy for a long time. The Steelers player with the long hair.
Oh.
He was in their commercials. Maybe they got it for free. Maybe that's why it was in there. I don't know how many players cared, but at least one player cared enough. Like, you're meeting with the owner. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's I can handle a lot. But this has got to change. And it did change. That's what they're battling against in Ashburn. It's a shampoo situation. Right? And there's a million more shampoo situations. Some big, some small. I was chatting with Logan Thomas before last season. You see, when the families come down to visit us after the game, they just have to stand in the tunnel outside the locker room. There's no room for them to wait in. So they got a family room to wait in.
Nice.
That's culture.
Yeah.
Culture is the things you do. It's not the things you say. That's culture, having the family room. Is what that is. The Commanders continue to build. It's going to be a process. We can't say that quite enough times. Mitchell Russ, by the way, he did that interview from Glenstone. That's his art museum up in Potomac, Maryland. And if you've never been...
I've never been.
I was assuming that's where we were. If you were about to have a Glenstone take, that was going to be...
Wow.
That was going to surprise you. Him and his wife... who's in the art world.
Okay.
She's...
I was going to say his interests are so varied.
No, that's her interest, but he's in on it.
Okay.
It's wild. It's like acres and acres and acres. And they have, I mean, all the big name artists are, but they cap it at like 500 visitors a day. And it's not like they're being snooty. Their thing is like, we want people to like, not just be shuffled through it, but like actually experience the art.
I'm seeing some thoughtfulness in lots of aspects here.
She's got to be the driver behind this shampoo situation, right?
Absolutely. He said they've got Head and Shoulders. She said, I know who you need to talk to.
All right, look, free agency this year. We can't offer you all the money because we spent it on shampoo, but we have very nice shampoo. Very nice shampoo. But we want to start hour number two by welcoming in our guy, Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. Sam, I want to talk to you about the draft picks, of course, and the Commanders and all that. But you know there is nothing I love more than a good stadium talk. And we get to peg it to current news events this morning with the tearing down of RFK. Welcome to the program. What do you make of the news that they got the green light to tear down RFK?
Michael Phillips, you can't just launch.
Well, we got the Darth Vader voice on Sam. This happens from time to time. So Hazel, you just pick up the phone with Sam. Have him talk for a second until it's gone, and then we'll put him back on the air. This is an actual phenomenon that happens in our phone lines, where occasionally the caller will sound like Darth Vader. And the advice, the official technical advice, is they've got to talk their way out of it. They talk for a minute. And they talk their way out of it. We haven't had that in a long time. I'm not even sure we've had that in the Hazel era. Maybe our I think that was our first Darth Vader voice of the Hazel era, right?
It was.
Yeah, so you just never know what you're going to get around here. We'll pop Sam back on because I think we're good now. We got you, Sam?
Yeah, hold on, sorry. So, this is not a filter that you guys do. This is just something that happens?
The phone system, from time to time, and it's been at least 2 months, but it probably happens once every 2 months, that... It just brings you in sounding like this for a minute. It's very bizarre.
Sounds like a feature, not a bug to me.
The actual technical advice from the people who know what they're doing is they've just got to talk their way out of it. you just got to tape it up and play through it. That's the official technical advice. All right, we've got Sam Fortier now. Thank you for joining us this morning. Here's my question for you about RFK. So, not a prediction, but preference for this ownership group. If it clears the congressional hurdles, if the land goes to D.C., if D.C. makes a generous offer to the commanders to have them in D.C., is there any way that the owners would choose any site other than RFK, or would that be their preference?
Michael, if there was a blizzard in Richmond, Virginia tomorrow, and you woke up and went sledding, I feel like that is like kind of the level of hypothetical that we're at. Just because there's so many layers of this,
yes.
Thing, right? Like, you got to get through Congress, which is by no means guaranteed, as we've seen, for a lot of different reasons. And then, you know, okay, can D.C. really pony up the cash? And then, okay, if they can't, what can they? How can they get creative to make an attractive financial offer, whether it be, you know, not straight cash, whether it be tax breaks or land preparation or blah, blah, blah. But, like, yeah, man, I think that, like, the fans want it there. I think ownership knows that the fans have a strong preference to be back in D.C. But ultimately, like, if Maryland pulls up with $1 billion in straight cash subsidy, like, you know, I think that's very competitive as well. And I think that, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you and I are both of the opinion that Virginia is not going to be a factor in these negotiations.
It sure feels like the torpedoing of the monumental thing was maybe the nail in that coffin, that, you know, not just I don't think Virginia was a factor to begin with, but also, like, if you go down that road, they may not even be able to deliver for you in the end.
Hold on, wait a second. You were saying you don't think Virginia was a factor, because I remember... Yeah, at one point, you were on JP and Mitch's podcast and doing the chips, and you put down some chips on VA.
Yes. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm saying RFK's got a lot of my chips right now. I said that I think Virginia may be ahead of Maryland in this, because I don't think Maryland can pony up enough cash to beat the RFK site. That they're just like, they're the incumbent. They have the land. If you want to just stay where you are, I think it's a bad site at FedEx. Maryland seems intent on being at that site. So if you were to say what's second place, it would be a giant bag of cash from Virginia. I do think the torpedoing of the monumental thing is a recent... Because I was on JP's show and I said, I think this arena is going to happen in Alexandria. I thought it was going to happen all the way to the finish. That's a real change of data point here for me.
Right. Joe Maloney, the commander's former vice president of public affairs who worked on this, he told me for a story that we published right after the monumental thing fell through, that monumental falling through in Virginia actually really helps Maryland, because he said, look, D.C. is now giving $515 million to monumental. Is there really going to be the public appetite in the political capital, both in the mayor's office and on the city council, to get through another huge subsidy, whether it be direct cash or otherwise, to get, you know, another sports stadium done in the district? And I think that's a very fair argument. I'm not saying that you know, DC is you know, far ahead or it's taken out, but I do think that really does help Maryland in this discussion.
What's interesting to me is, this is probably a broader discussion than just our discussion here, but if the Commanders end up back in DC, you've got all four sports teams in DC. DC residents, who represent a small fraction of the metro area's residents, are essentially paying for entertainment for Maryland and Virginia. Like, that's always been as a Virginian, hey, great, I don't pay anything, I just come across the bridge You know, and there was that whole thing when the Nationals had $5 tickets for D.C. residents, and people were mad about that. I thought, well, that's super fair because they are cutting a lot of checks right now to entertain the rest of us.
So this is actually, I think, one of the most interesting points to me, if it does come down to Maryland versus D.C., is what is the monetary gap that Josh Harris and his ownership group is willing to accept? Let's say that I think that, like, Maryland is in a stronger financial position, but let's say they come all together, like, with their whole package being $1 billion. What does D.C. have to get to for Josh Harris to say, okay, the financial benefits are worth the trade-off because I know the fan base wants to be there. I know that it's, as Jason Wright, the team president, says, the spiritual home of the team. Is it 500? Is it 750? Is it 250? I don't know what that number is, but I think that the gap between those two numbers will tell you a lot about what Josh Harris is willing to prioritize.
You know, to me, it's also a prestige game, too, that if you go back to Maryland, I think you can have a very nice football stadium and a very nice home field advantage and build a fan base and do all the things they say they want to do. And that, like, I think it would be just fine. If you go to D.C., though, you can build something iconic, something that'll host Final Fours, national title games, Taylor Swift, Olympics, you know, if you want to bid for those eventually. Like, how much is that worth to not just Josh Harris, but the money behind it, Mitchell Rales and everybody else? Like, the chance to say, I want to build something where I could be sitting next to the head of FIFA someday watching a World Cup match.
And I think that that's particularly pressing, right? Because the World Cup is coming, and D.C. is not in the rotation of cities. I was actually just in Kansas City with my family. Kansas City, big soccer town. The World Cup is going there. And there is, like, such a sense of civic pride already about, like, hey, we have the World Cup here. And it's just amazing to me that in an international, global city like D.C., that you won't have it. And so I think you're right. Like, that is definitely the legacy component is going to be on the minds of the ownership group. And I would also say, I don't know how much this is going to be a consideration, but I know that the NFL wants to zoom out on the Commander Stadium and have it show the Capitol, show the Capitol access.
Sure.
I know that they want to be able to entertain in the luxury suites senators that they're trying to, you know, try to say yes to things that they're lobbying for. I know the league would prefer to be there. So if Josh Harris were to say, hey, you know, I could get some goodwill here and I could parlay this into other things, I think these are all calculations he has to be aware of when he's deciding, hey, you know, it's not just a bag of cash versus a bag of cash.
There's also that, you know, Ted Leonsis wanted the bag of cash, right? He wanted cash to have construction happening. I feel like there's enough money in this ownership group that you could structure, you know, obviously all the things they do, tax credits and breaks and all those things. Like, if you gave them their half a bill over 30 years, they wouldn't throw up their hands like Ted did and say, like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, like, Josh Harris has to understand that's where this is probably going to go. I mean, like, look at the Audi Field deal where the mayor's office said, hey, we will do the horizontal work where we, you know, do the infrastructure, we prepare the land, and you do the vertical. And I think that, like, when we look at the RFK demolition, that's just, like, step one for that site being what, you know, the experts would call pad ready, you know, just being able to go in there and build it. Obviously, you have to do a lot of other things with that land. You have to say, hey, you know, where's the floodplain? Where can you build? How far do you have to be away from the river? How much has to be preserved for green space? Blah, 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 blah. But, like, I do think not just having a big bag of cash and creating value on that land in other ways is a big part of it.
Sam Fortier dropping some vocabulary on us. I love it. Sam Fortier, Washington Post, at Sam Fortier on social media. Mitchell Rales was on a podcast about investing yesterday. He was sharing about the arena. He was the stadium. He was talking about how when they were on the road this year, they would get to venues 3 hours early, 4 hours early, and you know, do their research and go underneath and the plumbing and all that stuff. I think there's a chance this heats up in the next year or two, and I think you're in a fun space. You're about to see some things happen.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on Congress, right? Because if they can get this thing through the Senate this calendar year, then I think, you know, all three jurisdictions are theoretically at the table. I know that Virginia doesn't have some legislative mechanisms that would allow the state to give them public funds, but really, like, D.C. and Maryland are there, and it's ready to go, and I think that, like, they're going to drop the gloves. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting next year if it gets through the Senate.
I agree. They hired the right guy. They hired a guy with big-time Senate connections there.
they hired a guy named Kirtan Mehta, and he actually worked for Joe Manchin, the West Virginia senator, for a long time. And Michael, this will surprise you, but apparently the committee that's going to oversee the hearing on this bill, if they go through normal order, is the committee chaired by Joe Manchin.
Ah, that is my shocked face, Sam. That is I love that. Hey, you know what? I enjoy having competent ownership. Say what you will about the grift. I enjoy competent ownership that knows exactly which buttons to press. All right, Sam, we'll have you back sometime to talk about the draft class because we got to pay the bills here. But I appreciate your insight on the stadium, and hopefully I'll see you up there at OTA's and minicamp.
It's a true joy to be on the radio with you, Philly.
Hey, there we go. I love it. All right, there he goes. Sam Fortier of the Washington Post. Always appreciate it. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Thursday morning, and when we're around on Thursdays, and he's around on Thursdays, we'd love to check in with our guy, Lane Casadante, CBS 6 Sports Director. Lane, little news just landed in the inbox here. The National Park Service is permitting the demolition of RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. after an environmental analysis. So they had done like a goodbye last year where they took a bunch of old players over there and like they said goodbye to it, and they made like a tearjerker video, but we never saw it because then they never blew up RFK because the Park Service didn't sign off. But now they can and presumably will demolish RFK Stadium, all of which is to say welcome aboard, Lane. Did you go to RFK for anything, Nats, DC United, any of those events along the way?
I saw Dr. J play there.
Ah, yeah. There it is.
That's a joke at AWOD's expense, and I will apologize to him later. I did get to cover a couple of games at old RFK back in the final years, final seasons, and the place was, you know how people talk fondly and, you know, wistfully about old places where they used to watch games when they were kids. RFK was everything you've ever heard about it. It was a little bit smaller, it was older, but literally the place shook, and the mezzanine seats would bounce up and down, and the first time you go and see it, you're a little fearful because you're like, how in the hell is that staying up there? Because the stadium is literally bouncing up and down where people are jumping all around at it. But it had so much character, and it was the site of so many successful games and victories by the team that, you know, it's no wonder a lot of people really hold a special place for that building.
That was old Yankee Stadium for me. You're in the upper deck, you're like, but people fall and die here all the time, right? But apparently they didn't.
Well, when you see, and a lot of this, we can tie this into the stadium journey that the Squirrels have been on now for well over a decade. You know, when you get a new building, yes, there is a lot of memories for the old building. And when you used to go there as a kid, it's tied in even more emotionally. But when you see a new building and everything that comes along with it, and the amenities and how much easier it is to see a game and how much more there is available to the fan, you get over that kind of quickly. And when when Commanders fans, if this is the direction that it goes in and they build at the RFK site eventually, it's going to take probably at least 8 years, even if they knock down RFK tomorrow. I think we're minimum 8 years away from seeing a new stadium on that site. But when fans go, as bad as, you know, FedEx has been, a new stadium on that site, you'll go back and they'll jump into something like that right away.
Oh, no doubt. Same with the Squirrels, although I had some fun at the expense. I think it was Paul Goldman who wrote in the Times Dispatch. He said the diamond has to be preserved. It's an architectural treasure. Not everything that's old is an architectural treasure, suffice it to say. Maybe he can do a few more runs of the stairs there, and we'll see what he's got to say about that. But yeah, the new stadiums have so many amenities. It'll be so good. I'm excited both for D.C. and for Richmond because it feels like maybe a little tiny bit that we have actual momentum here.
Yeah, and, you know, these things, they always take far longer than they probably should, But there's so much red tape, and there's so many forms and permits, and there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they always want to develop the area around it, which is what we're seeing with the Diamond District on a much smaller scale, obviously. And I'm trying to remember. It has been a while since I've been in that RFK site. I can't remember if, because there's a lot of neighborhoods around there. If I remember rightly, I remember parking in front of somebody's, you know, townhome and having to walk 2 or 3 blocks to get to the stadium when we covered a game. I'm quite sure that is factoring into, you know, any long scale plans, because it should. It's going to be interesting to see how they repurpose that area. It's obviously much easier to get to than FedEx is. And the ingress and egress will be far better than it has been for the last quarter century trying to get out of beautiful downtown Raljohn, Maryland.
Couldn't be worse. Raljohn is that lasted like 6 months, but the joke will last forever. Part of that, because Ted Leonsis had his thing and he was going to drop it in Alexandria. Part of it is that Capitol Hill neighborhood there is very well off. You think about Nationals Park and when it was built, MCI Center and all these stadiums, like they drop it into poorer neighborhoods and try to revitalize it, or, you know, run down neighborhoods. That neighborhood will be able to mobilize against it, which will just be another obstacle for them. They don't need it. They don't need a stadium in their backyard. And as you know, more money is more voice in government, more often than not.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, but the D.C. area is so difficult to try and plan anything of this size anyway, just because the traffic is so bad. And that's the first thing that anybody talks about. Oh, we want to put this here. Oh, well, there's another, 5,000 cars a day. We can't have that. And I can't blame the people for thinking that, because I've told people this 100 times. I'd rather drive a week in Manhattan than a day around D.C. It's just a nightmare to try and get around.
There you go. Well, I'll take neither. I'll take the sampler platter of neither there. Len Casadane joins us, CBS 6 sports director. And I'm a little late on this, but a belated happy 30 years at WTVR to you. They ran a very nice highlight package on CBS 6 of young Lane out there yucking it up at Daytona 500 and NASCAR and all those things. What were some of the ones that stood out to you as you watched those memories there?
The ones that I didn't remember until I saw them in that story. There were a couple of things that I couldn't even remember. We did. It was very nice. And then Mike Bergazzi is our executive producer, and he spent at least a day in our basement going through some of our old file tapes and finding stuff. Cole Pearson is our special projects photographer. He put that piece together. It was very nice. I don't remember the back and forth with Tony Stewart. I remember
yes.
The night we did that. It was at Go-Karts Plus down in Williamsburg. But something like that, I always remember those guys always, you know, and you've known this for the years that you've been in the business as well, though you get a better answer when you ask a better question. And a lot of these sports figures will, we tend to forget that they only seeing us like once a year, twice a year. They don't know us from Adam, but they do have personality if you let them show it, but they're always going to be a little guarded because they don't know you. So if you can, kind of show them that, you're there to take care of them and make them look as good as possible as well, and, highlight and showcase what they're doing. More often than not, they'll give you some good stuff. And I always enjoyed interviewing Tony Stewart because I never felt like he was trying to spin me on anything, and he never gave me a sanitized answer. And you really want to talk to people like that.
I'll throw Dale Jr. in that club too, right? That NASCAR golden era of drivers, like, they leaned into almost like the WWE nature. Like, they were there to put on a show and entertain. Like, not that it was rigged or anything, but they knew they were entertainers as well as athletes, and they were always great to talk to.
Well, and that's why I loved last year at either Martinsville or Bristol when Denny Hamlin looked up at the entire fan base, a lot who were booing him, and said, "I just beat your favorite driver." And the guy asked him, "Who was that?" He goes, "All of them." because he had won. And I thought that was one of the funniest things that I've ever heard one of those guys say. And it was after so many years of NASCAR, you know, worrying about the corporate line and worrying about sponsorships and homogenizing a lot of those drivers, it's great to see them feel like it's okay to have a personality and kind of show some of that every once in a while. And I think the fans appreciate it a lot more, too, than just hearing the same, you know, the same thing over and over all the time.
No doubt. We'll let you walk on this lane, you know, memory lane, 30 years at WTVR. Is there an event that you covered or covered regularly that like, as you look back, you're like, I don't know if I'll enjoy this, but it turned out to be really awesome? Because for me, that is NASCAR. Like, I thought, I'm going to hate covering NASCAR. And then you got there, and it's a fun event. Lacrosse is another one. I found myself enjoying lacrosse more than I thought I would, although the lacrosse culture, that I'm still a no on that. But, you know, what are the standout events you like? Man, like, I went, and that was really cool.
Well, there are two things, actually. One is when we used to go to the Daytona 500, it was sometimes a two-week trip because we would spend a week at Daytona, and then we'd go 3 or 4 days over to Disney where the Richmond and Atlanta Braves were having spring training. So it was a long time away from home, but you got so much out of it, and you got to see so many things. And, you know, being on pit road during the Daytona 500 is kind of like going – it's their Super Bowl. And it's a little bit different than going to the Super Bowl, but you know, you're sitting and there's millions of people watching on TV, but you're watching it live, and there's always something special to doing that. And the second thing I will say is the very first time I ever went, and the Special Olympics has their Virginia State Games coming up in a couple of weeks. The very first time I went to the opening ceremonies for the Special Olympics State Games, I was blown away at the energy, enthusiasm, and just the sheer, you know, joy that all of those athletes from around the state had for just being there. They would cheer every time another group walked into the Robbins Center. They yell for everything, and it just makes everybody feel so much better. And I encourage anybody that's, you know, if you've never been to something like that, just go at least once. I tell everybody that about NASCAR, about Special Olympics, about everything else, an NFL game. If you have the opportunity to see it in person, go once to say you've experienced that. And then if you love it, go again. But don't just sit home and say, oh, I never got a chance to do that, or I would never want to do that. Go and do it once just so you can experience it from the fans' perspective.
Go make some memories. I love it. Lane, we always appreciate the time. We'll be watching WTVR CBS 6. Have yourself a nice weekend.
All right, Michael, thanks for having me. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You bet. Off he goes. There's Lane Castellani. Off we go into a break. We're back with more 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM, right after this. Good tidbit from the Commanders. Ben Sinnott, he was drafted in the third round. He's their new tight end. Led his high school hockey team in penalty minutes. That's a good stat right there. I hope that was part of the pre-draft process. He led the team in penalty minutes. He's in. We need a blocker. He's in.
Oh, yeah.
I like him. Let's do it. If you missed our Commanders chat at 10 o'clock, there's only one place to go to grab it. That's the free Odyssey app, the one with the rewind button. Little Commanders, a lot of shampoo talk. I won't lie. There was a lot of shampoo talk in that segment. But it was Commanders shampoo talk. It was not off topic. Apparently, under Dan Snyder, the team had been stocking the locker room showers with Head and Shoulders. And when Mitchell Rales, one of the new owners, met with the players, they said, can we get some shampoo in here?
Mm-hmm.
And now they have a $30 a bottle shampoo.
Much better.
In the locker room. Seen.
Good.
Shampoo.
Seen it, shampoo by a Harvard grad?
Developed by a Harvard dermatologist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's progress right there.
And he said, I know where to go. They said, we got this Head and Shoulders. He said, I have just the thing.
In the telling of the story, that was like a made-for-dramatic TV moment right there. I know what to do about this.
He said, how do you know what to do?
I don't know how to block the left tackle, but I know how to do this. I know how to get this shampoo situation solved. Southwest Airlines. I am going to be on Southwest Airlines tomorrow. I've got my little alarm set. You got to get your number. Got to get the boarding. They are discussing removing open seating on Southwest Airlines and adding first class to Southwest Airlines. That's because that's the thing. Yeah, everybody just lines up. Mm-hmm. There's two ways to do airlines. One is you give everybody a seat and they all herd around the gate and then try to get on first.
Yes.
Or you don't give them a seat. And they Southwest, they're doing it the second way. They're thinking about removing that. That's
interesting.
That's a big... People who like Southwest Airlines love Southwest Airlines.
I mean, that's the reason they like Southwest Airlines.
I feel like it is. I don't like Southwest Airlines.
For that reason?
I want to be the last person to board the plane.
Mm.
The less time I spend in the metal tube, yeah. I think the better off I am. Everybody can crowd around the gate. That's fine.
Yeah.
I will be last. Give me the last group. That's fine.
Yeah.
I fly, you know, when I was doing football, I flew like more than the average person,
mm-hmm.
less than like the super flyers who, you know, you're like, I fly every week, you know, like yeah. I'm a business traveler. We'd fly 8-9 times a year. That's
a solid amount.
More
yeah.
than the average American. So I've got preferences on this. I don't like that system.
Figure it out
as you go.
Yeah.
But we're on Southwest Airlines tomorrow, which brings us to today's Conspiracy Corner topic, I believe.
It does.
Yeah? Yeah.
What's going on here?
Conspiracy theories. A lot of conspiracy theories out there.
I don't know.
You don't know who you're messing with.
So let's get to.
Yeah. That's good. I like that. That's got potential.
We're getting serious here.
That won't be the last time we hear that. What's up with this Boeing situation? You're from the Northwest. Answer for Boeing.
I am. Well, it's hard to answer for Boeing.
Yeah, you can't do it.
No. You may have seen the viral videos of doors flying off mid-flight, which seems ever so slightly concerning.
It seems not good. Not good.
On my list of things I want off the metal tube, you know, babies... But not doors.
Well, I'd like off the plane as soon as possible, but not that
not
soon.
Not that way.
Not that soon. But the problem is this guy is a whistleblower at Boeing.
Several whistleblowers have come out about this, saying they've ignored safety concerns.
Yeah, but the one,
two.
I'm doing air quotes, died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two died now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one, that's fishy as all get out.
Very. It was like 2 months ago, the first guy was like mid deposition.
Yeah.
Lawyers called him and said, where are you?
I think people channel their conspiracy energies into the wrong things.
Because, mm-hmm.
like, look, the Epstein case, that was very salacious, all that.
Yep.
But it was like, well, you know, he didn't kill himself. Like, no, obviously he did. Like, he was caught. His options were kill himself or like go to maximum security prison for the rest of his life. It's like, I'm done here. I'm checking.
Goodbye.
Now, should they have allowed it to happen? No, of course not. Yeah. There were breakdowns in the system, but there's no like, you know, Hillary Clinton snuck in there and did the deal. We're like, no, that didn't happen. Like, channel that energy into this.
Yes, this one is real.
This one smells funny.
Yeah.
We're in Conspiracy Corner, and this one smells funny.
It does. And this whistleblower we're talking about fell sick 2 weeks ago. In sudden mystery illness and passed away on Tuesday.
Just hate the mystery illness going around among Boeing whistleblowers. Yeah.
Contagious.
It is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on a Boeing plane tomorrow. So this is
Did you look that up? No.
This is great. Not just a Boeing plane tomorrow.
A Boeing 737.
Max. The Boeing plane.
I'll be praying for you, MP.
Well, if you hear best of next week, you'll know what happened.
When you get on, sit in the exit row and then just duct tape the door. What are you doing? I'm just making sure.
I don't think you want the exit row in these planes, right?
I don't want you to get sucked out the plane.
Normally, I want the exit row. I want the leg room.
I wonder if everyone will leave it on Southwest because they'll just all sit around it.
Feels like a very real scenario. I don't think you want it.
Well, now, then you might not want to be the last one on the plane.
So somebody wrote a book about like how Boeing just like stopped caring about safety.
Uh-huh.
My wife very kindly got me the book
for
Christmas 1 year. I took it on the plane. I was just reading the book on the plane. I'm like, man... What? A lesser person would not have the stomach for this. But here I am, reading about how bad these planes are while on the plane.
The people around you are like, is he wishing us bad luck? What's going on here?
I'd still rather be on a Boeing plane than one of those like tiny private jets. Those freak me out.
Oh, really?
Oh, the tinier the plane, the more freaked out I am. Little propeller plane, hobby planes. No,
Alaska's not for you then.
No, thank you. Seaplane, though, like,
okay.
You just crash land on the water, right?
This is a crazy take. You don't like the small planes, but you don't mind the ones that crash into the water.
Well, like, I'm just saying, if you crash, if your seaplane had an emergency, you just...
Okay.
You could park anywhere.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Feels like you're a little bit, you know, safe there. But no, in general, no. When I go to Alaska, you're not going to see me on one of those little things.
Juno only for you.
I can probably get to Fairbanks, right? I bet.
Maybe with a dog mush team.
Oh, now we're talking. I'm going to be that guy that drives. Like, drive up through Canada, drive up through Alaska. Yeah. No, that's...
You're going to be passing all the dog sled teams that are looking down their noses at you.
I'm glad we started with an easy conspiracy corner. Uh-huh. This is an easy one.
No, this one's serious.
Yeah, something's up there. We'll have other fare as the weeks go on. This one's the real deal, though. We'll keep an eye on that. No way. I semi-smoothly transitioned in hour number one. We got no shot now, so we'll just do it. We're giving away Wawa gift baskets. It's Wawa's 60th anniversary. We're celebrating with them 60 years of serving the community, coffee, donuts, all gas, all the other good stuff, groceries, everything you love about Wawa. We're giving away Wawa gift baskets two a day, every day this week. That means you're running out of chances because we only have two left after today. We'll give them out tomorrow, of course. So here's how this works. You call the number 833-804-0910. If you're the first caller, we'll give you a Wawa gift basket. You get a Wawa t-shirt, a Wawa hat, and a couple vintage retro cups. Really nice. They're not temporary. Like, you can dishwash them. You can use them. It's good stuff. Call in 833-804-0910. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Our guy Deion Sanders is back in the news, as he often is. He's the coach of the Colorado Buffaloes. And look, I like Deion a lot, and I think what he did was very innovative in terms of turning that program around quickly, right? And he beat all expectations last year. One, he's got super talented sons that came with him, and that helps too. But also, two, he used the portal last year in a way that not many teams were using the portal. Well, bad news, everybody's using the portal that way now. So that's why I have all the thoughts, 360 degrees of thoughts on this, because you've got a lot of guys who the Athletic did a story about basically Deion running the team off last year, not giving the current players a chance, saying, I'll go get new players. Right? So the portal closed yesterday in basketball, 1,832 Division I basketball players entered the portal this year. That is an average of more than five per team. It's starting five for every team, essentially. So everybody's in the portal now, which means everybody's looking to pull out of the portal. So Deion's lost his advantage in a lot of ways here. We told you yesterday when they put out the lines for week one, he's only going to be a 7.5-point favorite over North Dakota State, right? So there's some friction there. Now, Deion is beefing on social media with some of these kids who are telling the story that Deion didn't give me a chance. I just wanted to play football at Colorado. He ran me out of there. He's got the right to do that as a coach. I'm not even going to say he shouldn't be talking to the kids on social media. That's the brand. The brand is he comes in, it's a reality show, it's Bar Rescue, it's Kitchen Confidential, it's whatever. He comes in, he sees the bones of a bad house here, and you know, he does his thing. Let's actually do number eight here with Deion. He comes in last year, and he films his first meeting with the Colorado team, and he says, you know, y'all better be packing your bags because I brought my own bags, and they're Louis. I'm bringing my Louis Vuitton bags, right? So referring to the players he's about to bring in as opposed to the dud kids sitting in the room, right? So you set the tone right out of the gate. Now, it's one thing if you deliver on that, and he delivered on that last year, and it was a good show. It's a little different now when you know, it's next year, and now we're returning the Louis. Now we're having a closeout sale on Louis. Everybody get out of the way. I got these guys. They're awesome. A year later, I'm going shopping. I need some new Louis. Last year's model is not cutting it anymore. There's also, and high school recruiting doesn't matter to Deion Sanders. That's the Ponzi scheme. None of the high school coaches like him because he won't go visit the schools, you know, love up on the coaches, all the things that, you know, Brent Pry's here like every other week, going to Highland Springs, going to Verina, going to Trinity, going to these places, right? Like, he's making visit after visit after visit to get these kids. Deion doesn't do that. I'm Deion. I just grab some people out of the portal. So here's Deion talking about why he doesn't go visit with coaches with kids at their homes.
Let me address something else that I think I need to address. I don't know who did it. I don't know if they're in here. If they are, you could just raise your hand like we did when we were in nursery and we said here. There's an article that came out that said I don't go on visits. Okay. My approach, it's totally different than many coaches. I'm a businessman as well, so I try to save our university money every darn chance I get. So for me to go to, let's just say I'm going to Florida and I'm visiting IMG. You don't think those coaches are going to be a little upset if I don't come by the school down the street? You don't think it's going to be pandemonium if I'm going to get naysayed if I don't go another 45 minutes? Then if I go to that one, then I go, I didn't come to that school. Now the coach is mad, so he's not going to let the kid come because he's mad because I chose to go to that school over that school. See, other coaches, they could do that, but I can't.
He's Deion. He does things his own way. Let me just, this isn't Deion advice. I just want to give you life advice now. This is free from MP to you. One excuse. If you don't want to do something, one excuse, stick with it. If you make two excuses, you're lying. Anytime you, why weren't you there? Well, I had car troubles, and also it was my sister's birthday. Like, nope, that's two excuses. You're lying. One excuse, stick with it. Right, that was two excuses, right? Why don't you go visit? Well, as you know, I'm a very worldly man, and I pinch pennies around here, and we don't spend on extravagant things. And also, I didn't want to go visit the other schools.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so sure that Deion Sanders is looking out for the bottom line. The famously economical Deion Sanders. Yeah, oh, well. I mean, look, private jets are so bad for the environment and whatnot. How could we possibly do that? He's got more, though, because, the traditional part of recruiting is you go visit a player's family, and he doesn't do that either. But here's why he doesn't do that.
I've really pretty much done a personal survey. I really, truly, in all my heart, believe that parents don't want me at their house. They want to come see my house. They want to see how I live, how I get down. They want to see what I got going on, what God has done in my life. I know when I was in college, I did not want Bobby Bowden in my house because I knew at the 7 o'clock it was going to be rats and roaches on parade. I have never heard one guy say, I chose this college because this coach came by my crib. Have you? I can't do the things other coaches can do. You know why? I'm Coach Prime.
I'm special. It works until it doesn't work. It works until the Louis bags are not going to cut it in the Big 12 and you need new ones and your bit's up. Everybody else has figured it out. Everybody knows. You're going on the portal. You're getting guys out of the portal. That's the game now. There's no advantage for Deion anymore. The name recognition is still an advantage. The ability to play with Shadur, obviously an advantage. But the thing where you've discovered something nobody else has, everybody's in that portal. Everybody's grabbing guys every year. They're 7.5-point favorites over North Dakota State. Somebody thinks a reckoning's coming. And I got zero problem with the social media, with tweeting at the kids who are gone. That's all part of it. If you sign up for the Deion Show, you're part of the Deion Show. You're part of the entertainment. But you ride the whole ride. You get to ride the bull, you get bucked off the bull. You got to live with that. That's part of the deal with playing for it. I got no problem with the entertaining aspects of it. But the Bills are coming due at a certain point. I continue to think once his kids are gone, he's out of there. The whole thing's a Ponzi scheme, right? You build on the previous year, you portal it, and then poof, you're out of there, right? You're going to leave them holding the bag. And it's actually a decent time in college sports to leave them holding the bag because they can go get a new team out of the portal. But when Deion leaves Colorado, it's going to be like when the Grinch stole Christmas, man. There's going to be nothing in those cabinets. There's nothing there. Right, he's gonna take everything, not just the roast beef. He's taking it all the food, everything. He's gonna leave that cupboard completely bare. You got to be ready for that. On the other hand, not visiting those homes. Nick Saban always talked about this, and I after I heard him, I always talked to college coaches about, and they're always like, "Yeah, it's a real problem." When you go visit the kids you're gonna sign at their houses, it's a big deal to the parents. Like, the parents put on a show, right? Because this is the guy who's going to coach your kid in college. And so Nick Saban talked about, like, you know, they would go if they had seven kids they wanted to recruit in California. They'd see them all in one day. They don't want to be spending 7 days in California. They'd go fly it to California, see one at 10, one at 11, one at 12, one at 1, right? They'd private jet, boom, boom, boom. He doesn't care about Alabama's money, by the way. Does not care. Just burning through that Alabama cash. You know, we'd see seven kids in 7 days. He said everywhere we went, they'd serve us a full meal. And, like, it'd be nice, too. Like, you know, they'd have worked, like, harder. You can't not eat the food. That's disrespectful to the parents. You know, we'd, like, have to work out. Like, Stubbs 9 hot dogs have nothing on this. He's got to go eat seven different meals at seven different places in a day. So that's part of recruiting season. Like, you got to figure out what's the smallest portion you can take. Like, you got to be ready for each place. Recruiting's a wild world, man. That's Deion. Deion's in a new conference. I don't think Deion did as well as he thought he would do in the portal. He's on the defensive. He's also putting on a show. He's very good at putting on a show. I'd take the under on wins this year in Colorado. That said, Shadur, he's your early projection to be number one pick in the NFL draft. And I'm not impressed by any of the other candidates either. So they've got talent there, and I think he'll be fine. Shadur will be fine long term. Quinn Ewers is your other favorite to be number one pick in the draft, the quarterback at Texas, who I think he's in for a long year too, because his backup is Arch Manning, Peyton and Eli's nephew. And if you want to rile up a fan base, let Peyton Manning's nephew sit on the bench. Right? That's good. First time he throws an interception, that situation's getting fully untenable at Texas. You think the fan base is going to be like, let's let this guy work it out. I'm sure this will be fine. Don't worry about Peyton Manning's nephew sitting there on the sideline not playing for our football team. I'm sure this will all work itself out just fine. He's in for a long year there. We're not in for a long show because it's almost over. We blew through these 2 hours. If you missed anything, grab it on the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. We'll crosstalk with our guy AWOD next ahead of AWOD Radio, noon to 3. Grant and Danny drive you home. And, of course, Flying Squirrels Baseball got to break Akron's 9-game win streak tonight. Got to. Got to stick it to the Rubber Ducks tonight and take a little air out of their tires. That's my stance. Got must-win game. Can't let Akron get to 10 in a row. Big must-win game early in the season for the Squirrels. Trey Wilson on the call tonight, 6:30 first pitch from Akron. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Taking on the important issues of the day today on MP on the mic, I just stunned AWOD Radio. He's flabbergasted. He's not speechless. We can't ever make AWOD speechless. But he's stunned. I shared, I've never been skiing in my whole life. Now,
I still don't understand that, but okay.
Now, factor number one, I grew up in Wichita, Kansas. Mm-hmm. That is not the skiing capital of the world. And, I mean, it's a long drive to get anywhere that's skiing. But number two, like, that's, I mean, skiing is an expensive endeavor. That costs a little coin.
That's what was blowing my mind, because we went as the Boy Scouts, like, every year, and every Boy Scout brought their entire family, and so maybe we got a big discount because we were going with like 40 people.
You're in Northern Virginia. You went to West Virginia, Wintergreen?
I think we went to Wintergreen.
Okay. Yeah. Like, if we had skiing that was drivable, that changes the game. Mm-hmm. We had no skiing and driving distance. And the thing is, though, you tell me, like, I'm too old to learn now, right? I got no shot at this.
I don't think you're too old to learn at all, because okay. I'm not very good at it, you know? So I think within two trips, you're probably better than me.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but like, the older you get, the more it hurts when
yes.
you fall.
Yes. Oh, the hardest thing now, the older I get, is it's not really falling, it's getting back up.
Yeah.
I mean, once you start packing on those LBs, it's impossible to pick yourself up.
It doesn't sound appealing to learn at this juncture in life. I think I'm going to let this one go.
I think you would kill the bunny slopes. You'd be so fired up, man.
I do love tubing.
And skiing is so much better than snowboarding. Like, that, no chance you pick that up in my mind.
Snowboarding is harder than skiing?
Yes.
Why is that?
I think just because there's one stick compared to two. I mean,
No, it is. Now you're blowing my mind.
That's what I've always been told.
Always viewed them as like interchangeable, but no, you're
really?
Telling.
No.
With skiing, you like get the sticks too, right?
You get the sticks. You can use that to balance yourself.
I'm gonna need straight. The sticks.
Snowboarding, you're sideways. It's your like your skateboarding. That's I could never skateboard. You know,
if we could get it sponsored, if somebody wants to sponsor Teach an MP to Ski, I'll do it live.
Really?
I'll do a live my first ski live.
That sounds
absolutely.
Like a great like. 9-10 the fan trip. We bring everybody that's ever worked at the station, right? We have an entire ski trip.
I want to make sure as many people as possible see my humiliation.
Right.
Who wouldn't, obviously? Yeah. That's
paying members of the AWOD Army, ready to see MP fail.
Anytime we got AWOD here, you know it's time for a little crosstalk.
Two hosts enter.
Let's get it on right now.
One host knows how to ski.
Be, in between, all bets are off. This is Crosstalk with MP and AWOD.
Okay, okay, let's get this show on the road.
We got tonight the Sixers hosting the Knicks.
Mm.
Josh Harris owns the Sixers. Him and the Fanatics guy, Michael Rubin, bought out the tickets that were for sale. 2,000 tickets. They're just giving them out in Philly. They're
giving them out to first responders.
Local heroes.
Yeah, and they're doing like interview bits for content. Do you see that? When they give, before they give the tickets, they say, show us what you'll cheer like. And the people go, woo, woo, woo. And then they say, all right, that's good enough. Here are the tickets.
Is there like a Sixers chant? I don't know.
There's
no like.
I think they're just trying to, you know, make fun of people.
Raise hail, baby.
Right.
Let's go.
Hey, I like Raise Hail.
I got nothing against Raise Hail.
Yeah.
There's four
grumpy guys from 6 to 10 don't like it.
I want to raise hail and praise Dale. That's the first thing. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we'll get the shirt going.
Yeah.
Because Dale Jr. noted Commanders fan.
Yes.
I think he would be on board with.
Who's
this.
Your favorite celebrity Commanders fan?
Okay, in terms of like interactions with the person, Matthew McConaughey is just such Matthew McConaughey in real life. Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh, you're Matthew McConaughey right now?
I have been around him telling the Chris Hamburger story at least 3 times.
Yes, which is a great, legitimately great story, how he became a Redskins fan.
Yeah.
I have a soft spot for Dale Jr., mm-hmm. Who was always good to me when I was out at NASCAR and seemed to be a genuine dude and a cool dude. His podcast is very good. Down the line, now the wacky was always in the Dan Snyder era when it was like, let's cut to his box, and that's Alan Greenspan, chair of the Federal Reserve. You're like, this is a weird town, man. Like Alan Greenspan's our celebrity of the game. I'm not sure what we're doing here. I was at the Caps game Sunday night.
Yeah,
Jahan Dotson was ringside.
I saw that.
Banging on the glass.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I loved PR guy Charlie Moulet was sitting right next to him. I'd blown up his text. I said, hey,
I could use a guest.
Yeah, I could use a guest. Heard that Adam Peters dropped by for a bit as well. Not ringside, but good to see the DC love.
Yeah.
The thing people sleep on, that's not an easy trip from Ashburn to the rink to watch the Capitals. That's actually a 45-minute drive.
Yeah.
And you got, once you go off 66, you got to wind through the city. You got to get the parking.
Jahan Dotson lives, Ashburn?
Yeah, they all
do. What about Josh Harris, though?
Got to. Oh, no, Adam Peters.
Oh, Adam Peters, Adam Peters, though, definitely Ashburn.
Definitely Ashburn. Because that's the commute. You want to set yourself up for a good commute.
How much longer are they going to be in Ashburn, though?
So if it's RFK, though, is there enough room there to do everything you want to do, or are they going to keep it in Ashburn and have the stadium at RFK?
I mean, you're the newspaper guy here. I had read that Ashburn was too expensive. Like, they wanted to sell it, make $50 million, and then build a new place.
Yes, I think the new place will be in Virginia, though. I don't think...
So they could sell that and then buy a place 10 minutes away?
The data center industry, which, I mean, goodness knows the data center industry, that's like prime land. Mm-hmm. So data centers, which is where like you go to Facebook and that's where the information comes from. Apparently, like the closer you are, there's a big cord that runs underneath the Atlantic Ocean. All right. I'm way out of my range. This is 100% true, okay? I'm out of my range here. Uh-huh. This is also 100% true. There is a big cord that runs underneath the Atlantic Ocean that connects Europe and America's internets.
No.
That
find me an article.
And it pops out right there by Dulles. And so for whatever reason, the geographically closer you are to the big pipe, the better your internet service. So people pay.
When did they create this pike? 4,000 years ago? How is this possible?
Well, when the Mayflower came over, they told Columbus, just drag the cable behind you. Let it sink as you go.
You're legit telling me it goes from Europe to America, and that's how like the internet gets carried?
If you access a European website, that's not a satellite. It's not bouncing up. It's going under the ocean. A cable that is under the ocean.
That can't be good for whales. Do you see we're communicating with whales now, though? I got in that wormhole the other night.
What do they have to say?
Like, AI, we can't really determine what they can say yet. We can talk to them, but we can't translate it yet. We have this artificial intelligence, AI. I like to call it AWOD intelligence. And that they can listen to whales, and it can like transcribe it in English, and then they can send a conversation back to them. And they think within 2 years, we will be able to talk to whales.
We can talk to the whales.
Yeah, and they'll talk. They're talking back, but we're not understanding what they're saying.
Do we know what we're saying to them?
Yeah, because of the AI. Like, we know how to talk. We just don't know how to, you know. It's a one-way conversation right now.
There's 3 hours to be had in this. Unfortunately, the next 3 hours are yours. AWOD Radio up next. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.